Hello and welcome to Joshua Space, a podcast about all things books. On this episode, I had the absolute pleasure of interviewing Kevin Scott while I was at San Diego Comic-Con this year. We talked about Star Wars and the High Republic and Doctor Who and writing in general and meeting the people and the fans of the High Republic at Star Wars Celebration and the cosplay and just everything. I think you're going to love this interview just as much as I do. I do want to mention that if you wish to support this podcast, you can do so by purchasing any of Kevin's books in the link below or joining my Patreon. Now, without further ado, let's go ahead and listen in to this interview that took place at San Diego Comic-Con. Well, thank you so much for joining today on this podcast and this episode.
No problem at all. It's good to be here.
So I want to talk a little bit. I know we're probably going to talk mostly about Star Wars, mm-hmm. but you do have other works in Doctor Who and different franchises.
Yep.
And so I want to back up before all of that and ask, what first inspired you? What made you decide you want to become an author? Is that something you always wanted to do or you just kind of fell into it?
It was absolutely things like Doctor Who and Star Wars. And so I was writing fan fiction before we probably called it fan fiction, and it's because I'm old, long before the internet as well. So it was in Doctor Who especially, we used to have a big fanzine society. It was the way fandom worked. And so I used to send off little fan fiction stories to publish in the magazines, and it completely set me on the road I'm on now. I became a magazine editor originally. And a journalist because I used to write for fanzines and sort of fell in love with that world. And similarly, I wanted to write fiction because I was writing these fan fictions for Doctor Who. They were dreadful, awful. I mean, loads of mashups. So I kept mashing up Batman and Doctor Who because obviously, why wouldn't you? And so yeah, I'm hoping that people don't go and seek them out, and I'm hoping you can't find them. But there you go. It was wanting to tell those stories and knowing what it was like to be a fan of things like that, things like Star Wars, Star Trek, Doctor Who, that were so all-encompassing and take over your life. And I knew what they meant to me, that I wanted to be able to tell those stories. And so that sort of set me on the path, really.
Nice. So when you first started writing stories, and even to today, were you more of a planner and pantser, and has that changed?
I am totally a planner. When you write in IP, when you write franchises, you have to be a planner because other things have got to be checked by other people. And so that has then followed over into my own work as well, because I like to have a plan before I dive in. I'm trying to force myself with my own material to be a little bit more of a pantser and to see where the story takes me. But the thing is, when majority of my work's comics, and with comics you can't do that because you only have 20 pages an issue. There are lots of black magic type things in comic books. You need to know where the when the page turns are. You need to plan all those little mini cliffhangers you get to keep the story moving on. You have to plan a lot. But I do enjoy those moments. So again, with just turning back to Star Wars, I've just delivered my next novel, which is Path of Vengeance, for phase two of the High Republic. And there are some elements in there where it was incredibly planned out. When I handed it in to Mike, I had to say one of the characters is where we said she was going to end up, but her journey there has been slightly different. And that comes from when you're writing, you surprise yourself because the characters surprise you, and that's what makes them feel alive to you as a writer and hopefully for the reader as well.
Yeah, that makes sense. And so going into Star Wars, out of all the Star Wars novels and comics that you've been able to write, do you have one that was just the most challenging, the most difficult? It took you the longest to write.
I think, to be fair, Path of Vengeance has been a bit more difficult to finish off because Celebration happened. And Celebration was the most incredible experience for all of us. The five of us have been working in the High Republic. We had that incredible panel where 4,000 people turned up. 4,000 people to a book and comic panel. That's insane. We first went into that hall and went, they put us in the wrong room. We didn't know when we were on there because we had all these lights in our face, and we could hear there were people out there, but we didn't really know. When the lights went up and we saw everyone was out there, well, there was a few swear words muttered under our breath. It was just like, this is ridiculous. And we connected to so many people that week that told us what the High Republic meant to us. I flew home back to the UK from Anaheim, and I sat down to pick up where I'd left off the story that I was writing for Path, and then it was like a moment of going, oh, this has this really matters. And so I think it wasn't so much that the story was more difficult, but the expectation suddenly became more difficult for me. It made me question, I think, the choices I made in that book. So I suppose in that way, it was more difficult than the other things I've worked on. And it's because it's evolving, you know, that the High Republic is growing all the time. And it's also interconnected that there are challenges, you know. So, and you've got five people, now more, yeah. And we're all having a little bit of discovery writing as we write as well. And so you do have those moments where you have to contact someone and say, I've done this, does that break you? Does that break your story?
Yeah.
Which is actually usually the same thing. And you have that moment. So there's a couple of moments when you have someone phone up and say, right, this has happened. And you go, oh, right. And you have to try, which is the exciting bit as well. And it's a tag team, and it's working with a group, which I love. I think it's absolutely, and that's me. It's not the book that's been difficult, but it's the expectation on me, I think, that I've suddenly put on myself.
Seeing how much it matters and it means.
And it's that also was a joy. You know, I don't want to belittle it because it meant so much to find out how much it meant to other people.
Yeah. Well, and I feel like was that the first time that you really saw the effect that it was having on people, because it all came out during pandemic.
It did. Yeah.
So that was the first kind of major experience of people have now read the book and now you're getting to interact with them.
Yeah, I mean, the High Republic happened in a vacuum in the way, after years of us planning, and it was years. We did the launch event in Burbank at Disney, which was a press event.
Yeah.
Literally lockdown happened immediately. I mean, to the point where I was wondering if I could get home, you know, and should I leave earlier, because there was all these rumors about lockdown. And then obviously, we pushed back the launch because we had to for logistics. And we did everything in that vacuum of the pandemic. And I think it worked wonders for the High Republic. It created that community of people who wanted something at that time. A lot of it had been written, but it definitely influenced how we were moving forward with it. So yeah, it was my second convention. I did a convention in London where I saw a little bit, but that was a general convention. To actually go, I mean, Celebration is always an experience, and to go there, and the obviously love for Star Wars is incredible. I honestly thought we were going to be a small part of that, and we are in the great scheme of things. We did a cosplay contest, and we were all going, is anyone going to turn up? And then there was, you know, there was three geodes. I mean, come on, you know, there was a guy in full skier outfit from head to toe in latex. Yeah. He was
and
incredible.
It was so detailed.
Yeah, I know. I mean, I saw a picture of that. I was like, oh, we found a Bosk mask. And no, that's Ario's design for skier. So it was incredible to have that chance to actually see the response for ourselves first time.
Yeah. So with the High Republic, do you have a favorite character, and why would that be your favorite character?
It has to be two now. So it's Skier and Keeve, who are so intertwined now, but I've said this before in other interviews, they weren't supposed to be, they weren't planned that way. And it was actually what we've done with the High Republic is we've made sure we've got this general plan, so we know how the High Republic ends, we know all the major beats all the way through, but we've given ourselves the freedom that we can have those moments when it grows in between, as long as we hit those to take steal from another franchise, those fixed point in time, how we get there can be a bit more wibbly wobbly. So with Keeve and Skier were always going to be in the same book, but they weren't Padawan and Master until quite late, and it wasn't working. Keith's story wasn't working. Skier's story wasn't working. And I suddenly realized it's because she's just recently knighted and that was her master. And now they have to live with each other afterwards. It's like a child leaving home and the parent going with them. Yeah. And their story, I had no idea I was setting out to write a father and daughter story, you know. And as the father of two daughters, it suddenly means a lot more to me. And in a way, with phase two, I'm also writing a father and daughter story. It's become a thing. So Skeeve and those skirts, Skeeve, I've even given them a name then, I've shipped them. Skier and Keeve, they are the High Republic to me. And their stories. And also, again, I know where they're going. I've written their last page.
Yeah.
And I did that right as soon as I worked this out. I went away and it's written and it's in a file in my computer, named something else so no one can hack it and find out that where that page is. And that's the last words that the two of them will say to each other in the High Republic. And I know where that's going. So, yeah, they're so important to me. And it's been so gratifying to realize that other people have got that as well.
Yeah, I think that's the one thing that's really interesting as an author. You're able to kind of see the end game. And once you have it written, you kind of look at everyone else and you're like, I know something you don't.
Yeah.
I know what's going to happen.
Yeah. And obviously with Keeve, I might have teased other things in other media as well. Yeah. Where she's going.
So backing it up, because I know the High Republic is more current.
Mm-hmm.
So backing it up to a little bit further back with Star Wars,
yeah,
with Dooku Jedi Lost.
Yes.
So for me, that was actually my first new canon, or the Disney canon,
right,
novel,
yep,
in the Star Wars universe. So I was wondering, what inspired you to write that story, especially kind of focusing and centralizing on Asajj Ventress?
So I was asked to, because I come from a background of writing audio drama, in the UK is a massive industry still, and with Doctor Who, it's a huge part of Doctor Who, and always and has been for a long, long time, and that's how I started out in fiction, writing Doctor Who audio dramas. I've been badgering to do Star Wars audio dramas because obviously there have been some in the past. There was the radio dramatizations, there have been other adaptations. Knowing that America hasn't got the history, they actually have an old history in radio drama, in old school, you know, old time radio with the Adventures of Superman and the Shadow and Sherlock Holmes. I've been really pushing it. And then they finally came back to me and said, okay, we want to try this, and you've obviously got the background. And I was like, brilliant, and we want you to write Dooku. And I was like, what now? And I was like, are you sure about this? And as I've just talked about in the panel, that we've just come off of, I have a complicated history with the prequels. You know, I have a history where at the time I wasn't sure about them. And it has taken the wider comics and books and TV shows since for me to grow to love that era. And Dooku was a character that I hadn't necessarily connected to other than in Clone Wars and in the Dark Horse comics. Because the extra twist was they didn't want me to write Count Dooku the Sith Lord. They wanted me to write Count Dooku the Jedi. And actually that's what made it interesting, because we've never really seen that. Dooku, by his very nature, because of the reaction of the Jedi, must have been a great Jedi. And also, he was in his 70s when he left. So yeah, he'd been a Jedi for a long time. And part of the brief was, we want you to tell that story from Padawan to the moment he leaves, which again is like, that's a long period of time in anyone's life. And so that's why it became an interesting thing for me, because I could really look into his friendships and the man that we know he becomes. The flip side of that is that I love Ventress. Again, going back to her first appearances in the EU, and then obviously her development in the Clone Wars series as well. And so it gave me a chance to bend the rules a bit and have Sith Dooku in it at the same time. So if you've not heard it or read the script, it's Ventress trying to discover through holograms and actually it came from, I couldn't work out how to approach the drama, and then I went, he's Count Dracula. What's Dracula? It's, you know, it's a series of journals and letters and books. So that's the approach that we got with Dooku Jedi Lost. So yeah, it was, I've ended up loving him in a way that I didn't think I would. And I would now kill to go back and write more Dooku.
That's awesome. And I know that's not your only audio drama, like you mentioned.
No.
I know you also have one that's in the High Republic and then others. As far as writing a script novel in general, what's the process? Is there a different process that you have to go through with a script novel versus just a standard novel?
I mean, it is a script, so it's more like writing for TV or writing for comics, you know. So it's and what I love about it is that you're part of a team. So when I write the script for an audio drama, just as when I write for TV and when I write for comics, I'm not necessarily writing for the end audience. There are obviously, you're always writing for your audience in the end.
Yeah.
But I'm writing in the case of audio drama, for the director, the producer, and the actors, because it's me handing it over, passing the baton and going, here, tell this story, and surprise me, you know. And that's why I love those collaborative works. It's why I love comics. When you write comics, when I write The High Republic, I'm not writing for the readers, I'm writing for Ario, who will turn it into the wonderful, beautiful artwork that we get in the comic. And there's a lot of back and forth then as well. So Then at the end, you usually get a chance, especially with comics, to edit and sort of like you do a run over the lettering to just sort of polish it to make sure it is for that final reader. So yeah, that's the main difference. When you're writing a novel, you are absolutely writing for the end, for the reader, because at the end of the day, that's the relationship. It's you through your editor to the reader who's picking up the book.
Yeah.
When you're writing a drama, you're writing for the cast who will then present it to the listener. And so it's a very storytelling is the same. Story is story is story.
Yeah.
And there are also certain things you have to do when writing audio drama. You can't say, have a Jedi going, look at that spaceship coming out over the trees that are green. You have to try and get that information across, but in, you know, a naturalistic way, you know. And so there are those kinds of technical difficulties and differences. But yeah, it's largely who your ultimate audience is.
And so I know we talked a little bit earlier with Doctor Who.
Mm.
So in addition to Star Wars, you also write some novels and graphic novels in Doctor Who universe.
Yeah.
And so do you have one that kind of stands out amongst the others that was your pride and joy?
It's really difficult because I think my very first thing I ever did, which was an audio drama called Project Twilight with Colin Baker's Sixth Doctor, that set me on this road that I'm on now. So that's always been important to me. I think the one more recently has been the Ninth Doctor run of comics I did for Titan Comics, because at the time, I mean, now glory be, we've got Christopher Eccleston back doing audio dramas, but at the time that was the only Ninth Doctor story we still have, we had at the time. And I really fought at that time to write for that Doctor because I knew I wanted to explore. There's a point in that season, and he was obviously only around for a season, where Captain Jack Harkness joins the TARDIS crew, and then the next episode, they're a team. And they've been a team for a while, and there's banter, and there's flirting, and there's all these things going on. I wanted to tell the story of how they became that TARDIS team. And so it's that comic for me is like a little mini-series within the series. I love that series. Also, I get to take him to my hometown, and I get to destroy my hometown with monsters, and I get to meet Brigadier, and there's just so many things that, you know, because of when I was writing it, I could be a bit timey-wimey with it, and so he meets, you know, characters that the 10th Doctor would have known later on, but you can't really explain that yet, so it was a lot of fun, and then my best moment was able to give a copy to Christopher Eccleston when I met him, and he was lovely about it, and yeah, he said some lovely, lovely things afterwards. So it was, yeah, I think the Ninth Doctor comics are always going to be a big part of me.
Yeah, and I think that's one of the beautiful things, because I just started getting into reading the Doctor Who novels and the graphic novels, and I think that's the beautiful thing is you're kind of getting episodes within episodes.
Yeah.
So in between episode like 5 and 6, you're going to get all these things that explain a lot of the backstory and a lot of what happened that we don't really see.
Yeah, yeah. And the good thing about Doctor Who is that Doctor Who is a very different beast to Star Wars, because within Star Wars, as you know, there is always the, is it canon, is it not canon?
Yeah.
In Doctor Who, canon doesn't really matter, because canon changes depending on what he's done, or she's done, or they've done. And the Dalek, George Mann, who's working with me at the High Republic, we were collaborators on a book of the history of the Daleks, which is interesting because they have three origin stories, you know, and we tried to make it that all three existed. And thank the maker for the time war, because it can explain a lot. And so, there's a flexibility in Doctor Who that isn't in any other franchise, really. And you can literally, it's a cliche, but you can take that police box anywhere and you can tell any story, even if it counteracts other stories in the canon, because that canon's constantly being rewritten as time gets changed.
That's awesome. So do you have a favorite Doctor?
It's so hard. I mean, my Doctor's Tom Baker, because that's who I grew up with. I mean, I didn't know there were other Doctors, and so I saw the novels. Tom is the person I think of as the Doctor. I do love them all, because they are the Doctor. They are different aspects of the same person. Colin Baker was the first Doctor who said my lines, and so, you know, he has a great part in my heart. But yeah, my Doctor is always going to be Tom. And I think first time I met Tom Baker, I was interviewing him for Doctor Who magazine, and we were going to a studio where he was doing the audios. He just started doing the audios again, and the studio had a speaker system. As you walk in, you could hear what was in the booth, and as I opened the door, I heard a voice going, "Hello, I'm the Doctor," and I was a kid again. It was Saturday night, I was sitting there, and not seeing him, but hearing the voice, and his voice was so distinct. Him and still the Fourth Doctor, I saw the mop of hair, I saw the scarf, I saw the smile. And then on the flip side of that, as I was leaving that evening, we'd had a wonderful day in the studio, and I was getting into my car, he was getting into his Land Rover on the other side, and I suddenly heard this voice go, "Goodbye, cock!" And I thought, if I never meet him again, which I have a couple of times since, I love that moment, the Fourth Doctor, because it's the most Fourth Doctor thing to say. It's like, "Goodbye, Duggan," and it was like, "Goodbye, cock!" across the car park, and I will love that forever.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
And so I have one last question before we wrap up. And I know it's not everyone's favorite question, but do you have a favorite book of all time?
Yes, Christmas Carol by Charles Dickens. I read it every year. It's just a part of my life. And anyone who knows me, I'm a horror fan, I'm a ghost story fan, I'm a Christmas fan, and it created Christmas. You know, that book is single-handedly created Christmas in the UK. I will love Christmas Carol to the day I die.
Nice. Well, thank you so much for joining me on this episode. It was wonderful to chat with you.
And you. Thank you.
And thank you for listening. I really hope you enjoyed this interview. And like I mentioned before, if you do wish to support this podcast, you could do so by purchasing any of Cavan's books found in the link below, as well as joining my Patreon. By now, you've probably noticed that every episode of this podcast thus far has been an interview with a single author. However, I'm going to mix things up. Next week on Monday, I'll be dropping an episode that is a rapid-fire style interview with fantasy authors. I will be having a handful of fantasy authors on the episode. I'm going to be talking with them about their book and their writing process for about 8 to 10 minutes each. It's a wonderful way to add more books to your TBR, get exposed to authors that you might not have heard of or that you are longtime fans of. So make sure to subscribe to this podcast to ensure you don't miss that episode.